You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new because Hulu has new stuff all the time.
Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama.
A new season of The Kardashians starring, well, the Kardashians, of course.
And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean.
It's all new and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Zyn nicotine pouches deliver nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime, which means Zyn pairs well with you, your personality, your schedule, and your spontaneity. Zyn fits easily into your bag, pocket, and into your life because it's smoke-free, hands-free, and hassle-free. So the only person who will know you have a Zyn pouch in is you. Visit Zyn.com or head to your local convenience store today to find your Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
For the love, there is nothing worse than shaving your legs. A total game changer to my beauty routine is Nair. That is right, the OG hair removal. Nair saves me so much time, and the best part is no nicks, no cuts, and you will have smooth skin for days. You have to make sure to check out Nair's new sensational shower creams and body creams. My favorite shower cream is the Moroccan Argan Oil and Orange Blossom. The scent creates the ultimate pampering experience. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
All right, here we are. Welcome to Two Teas in a Pod with myself, Teddy Mellencamp.
And Tamara Judge. And we have a different setting today because we are at your house in Dana Point, the house that Erica would not stay at. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, holy shit, this is beautiful.
I can say this about this house. We have done a renovation since then. It wasn't quite the level it is right now. I mean, one, you can't really complain about
A house made of glass.
But it was not made of glass before. And we've switched it around, but it is beautiful. I came up yesterday. I'm still healing from my surgery today.
Now, you've shown me around LA when I come out to see you. So I'm going to show you around Orange County. And we're going to go to lunch today at the Deck,
which I've never been to.
You've never been. And it's on the ocean. And I have a surprise guest that's going to show up today.
Hold on. Who?
It's just somebody that... You have friends have run around in the same circle.
Is it Vicky?
No, she's in New York or something, Connecticut. She's doing an appearance. No, it's not Vicky, so you can relax.
Is it someone that's going to get us in trouble for being with?
Nope. No, it's not.
Is it someone that's currently on the show?
No, somebody that was on your show prior.
On my show?
On your show.
Oh, the person, I can't ever remember her name.
Taylor Armstrong. She's going to come meet us for a drink.
Well, cheers. Nice to meet you, Taylor.
Yep. That's how you're going to meet
her. Well, okay. I'm going to start off this episode because we, as you guys know, are on a group chat. And it got heated yesterday.
Oh, you're talking about our group
chat. Our group chat. Okay. Our personal group chat. Because I really want to get it out of the air.
Explain who's on the group chat.
Okay. So it's myself, Tamara, my best friend, Matt. One of Tam's best friends, Kaden, who...
So it's our gay best friends that are on there. They're super housewife fans.
And they know everything. And
very opinionated.
Very opinionated. It's a very opinionated chat.
I mean, if we need to know something about housewives, just research, we can just ask them and they know off the top of their heads.
In a second, it doesn't matter what franchise.
However, they have different opinions on who they like and who they don't like on shows.
Correct. However... Yesterday, one of them came in hard on me about my friendships in Beverly Hills.
I don't think he came in hard.
But
you don't want anybody to disagree with you.
No, I'm fine disagreeing.
No, you're not.
I'm not fine in absolutes.
But what does that mean, absolutes?
Absolute means, Teddy, you are going to lose listeners if you can't see exactly the way that, okay, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I will tell you, I have gotten some DMs.
Do you think that I haven't gotten those same DMs about Heather?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
About
yeah.
when you're yes. Team Heather yes. the whole time yes. or when you wouldn't forgive Shannon.
Right. Okay.
But that's so why people listen.
I know. And let me explain to you. It's a hard balance. And for the viewers out there that are DMing me and saying, like, you know, Teddy's not being open and she's being biased or whatever.
We're talking about Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
Obviously, all the other shows were fine. Yeah. We don't care if we disagree or not.
As ex-cast members, it's very hard to remove yourself, you know, as friends of some of these girls on these shows and also enemies of some of these girls on the shows and talk about the show and recap the show as viewers. It is very difficult. And you're going to find that out.
Right.
We're only two episodes
We're in. Only two episodes in. So Caden said to me, you know, you need to be like Tamara and how Tamara came around with Shannon. And I said, it took Tamara about 8 episodes.
You said 10.
10 episodes to get there. And it did.
It was very difficult.
It took time. And here's the thing. It's not that I necessarily have a problem with any of the girls on the current cast. As watching the show, when I have love for some.
You're closer than some than others.
It is hard for me to see some of the positives. So I am open to Tamara discussing with me. But you guys, as listeners, have to also understand that Beverly Hills is different than Orange County, where some of these women are truly some of my very best friends.
Yeah.
We talk every day. We have real relationships. It's not one of those things that you show up.
Okay, so what are you going to do if one of your good friends on the show, because it happens, makes an ass of themselves or does something stupid on the show. Are you going to be able to call them out?
Yes, okay. I am going to be able to call them out. But what I'm not going to be able to do is, so for example, we'll talk about last night's episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I feel like we'll start with that recap. Personally, I don't care either way about this Sutton and Lisa Rinna situation with the Elton John thing.
I think it's going to warm up. But let me just add one more thing. We're not on this podcast to ruin anybody's life. We're not here to tear somebody up personally. We're not here to call people names. So when it comes to talking about that episode, we've said this a million times, we are talking as viewers. The problem is that you and I, when it comes to our old franchises, you know a little bit more.
Yeah, we know
more. A little bit more. You're deeper into it, so you know.
And what I said to Tamara, I said, feel free to push at me as hard as you want if you disagree with me.
Right.
But I have to go in as me. I am not going to go in and pretend that I watched the episode and felt a certain way just to make viewers happy. I would rather you come at me and have a disagreeing view than me come in and go, okay, I'm going to say this. I thought this was great. I thought it was just fine and dandy that Sutton cared more about her designer coming in than about, you know, Dorit being held at gunpoint. I can't do that.
Yeah, but you shouldn't do that because the majority of the people out there watching are going to agree with you on that one.
Right. But 100%. But also you have to remember there's also backstory that comes with everything. So for me, because I was on the show, when it comes to Sutton and I see a Sutton say in a confessional, you know, for me, I have a history with guns. I have a real issue with guns. Then my mind goes back to the season that I was on with Sutton where they never showed it, where Sutton called Erica and I white trash. And said she grew up hunting and using guns and blah, blah, blah. And just because I'm not from like the white trash places where you guys are, where you could get licensed at 15 to drive a tractor, like those are
why did they not show that?
Because they don't show those types of things, especially your first season.
Okay.
But so I have history with some of these people that lead me to feel a certain way. Do I think Sutton is good television? Absolutely.
Right.
Would I be happy to have her on the show and hear her point of view if she was willing? Absolutely.
Yeah, but do you understand when we were recapping Orange County, how I felt now? Like I told you, like I need to say a prayer for you because it's the hardest thing in the entire world to do because you do have personal relationships with certain people on the show and you know backstory. You know what wasn't shown. You know backstory. So it's hard to say like, to support somebody when you know that they've done some shitty shit that wasn't shown
on
the show.
But when it comes to the term Fox Force 5, I 1,000,000% understand that there is a negative stigma when it comes to
that
group.
What does that even mean?
It's just some stupid shit. It was because when we went to Provence, we were the only five that showed up. We had to carry the show with five of us. Okay. It went on, blah, blah, blah.
So is it like the Tres Amigas?
It's like the Tres Amigas, but like it's gone on. We don't even call ourselves that anymore. We have a new name for our group chat. But the point is, I am open, and when I think that people in my friend group make mistakes, I'm going to call them on it the same way I do in our actual and real life friendships.
Okay.
And like I said to Rinna, I had a conversation with her because she, this whole thing about the Elton John stuff. Yes. So we'll just start with that in this episode because it's back and forth. If Sutton pulled out, Sutton brought receipts to Harry's party, which I thought was a little bit weird. But long story short, Rinna also has receipts. I saw the receipts. I told Rinna not to post the receipts because I didn't think she needed to. It's clear.
Well, now she needs to.
Well, she did.
But how about Kyle? Kyle was amazing on this episode. I mean, she's always amazing. I love her. But she was so funny in her interviews and her like...
Oh, like throwing out the receipt. Yeah. Like
that was hilarious.
Kyle is excellent at doing her job.
She is. She's so good.
She's so good because her confessionals are comedic without being mean.
Yes. She's never mean. I've never seen Kyle be mean at all. And I feel like she's got a great balance of calling people out. I don't know. That's my personal opinion about Kyle right now because I've gotten to know her a little bit better through you.
Yeah. But also my personal opinion about Kyle is I know that in that car ride when she's with Dorit and PK, you know, the people that are saying she's a shitster because she brought this up.
She's doing her job.
She's doing her job. She has to pass along this information. Plus, she ultimately says it to Sutton's face.
Yeah.
So it's not like she's – and as a housewife –
did she get shit for that?
She got a little bit of shit. But
I thought it was great. I thought that she was moving storyline along, and I feel like that's what she does. And she's a big part of that, of keeping things going and moving. Because if you're not, and I have been on a cast where people are like, oh, the guy down the street. I'm like, no, we're not talking about the guy down the street.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares about what shows you're watching right now. Absolutely no one cares.
But it was a good episode. Let's dive into it.
A good episode. So it starts out with Lisa says that Harry Hamlin texted Sutton saying they were guests of the Elton John Gala for years and for her to stop. Sutton never replied.
What do you think?
Well, I think she probably never replied because she got seats for herself, Jennifer Tilly, and one other person.
She said she got a whole table.
No, she didn't. That's not. You think a whole table at Elton John is $11,000?
I didn't.
Absolutely not.
Oh, I thought she paid $11,000 just for the extra seats. I didn't know that.
Well, okay. We have our own version of receipts, which we can read, this is.
I love that they are breaking the fourth wall and they're talking about Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah. But I mean, here's the long and short of it. And if you are...
Are you pulling out receipts right now?
Yes, I am.
Oh my God. Is this from Lisa?
Yes.
Oh dear Lord. Okay.
Hiya. Though Catherine has since transitioned to Apple TV for years, inclusive of that question, she spearheaded celebrity outreach and invite for the Elton John AIDS Foundation event. In fact, not only had she invited them every year prior and after, but she was the one who made the intro to the IMDb team to ensure they would be accommodated, since by the time Sutton left them high and dry, their internal allotment had been tapped out, so they needed to outsource to IMDb. IMDb is the one who served as the event sponsors. I hope this all makes sense to Lisa. So Lisa put in her time. She did a 30-minute Q&A hosting thing with IMDb in exchange for her seats. Because Sutton paid for her seats and Jennifer Tilly and whatever her date was.
Okay, so basically Sutton at the time was not a celebrity, so she had to pay for her seats. And then if you are a celebrity, they want to spread word. And the best
they want press.
They want press. And the best way to do that is to invite people that are very influential, people that are in the press constantly, and Lisa is. And she's been going to it for years.
And so whether you get heat for it or not, I mean, one of my best friends throws that event, Virginia. Sorry if I'm throwing you under the bus, but I've been going a million years. It was not until I was a housewife that I was able to actually ever sit at the table. Before I was a housewife, I would walk the red carpet after the award ceremony and only go to the after party.
Isn't that how Kim Kardashian started her career?
Yeah.
Just walking red carpet?
Yeah. Like she would just, she would have me come and whatever. But then once I became a housewife, then they started seating me at tables because they want you to be seen. And then when you post about it on social media, then more people want to donate. Yes. That is the point.
That's the truth.
And this is where I have my issue with Sutton.
Okay.
I honestly don't even care about this situation. Like, it is what it is.
I do because I don't know the backstory and I don't know how it works. So
but if you are going to be somebody that claims to think any discussion about money is rude, and remember, Sutton came for Garcelle because Garcelle asked her how she got all of her money.
That's right.
So that is what I don't like. You have now switched the script. And now because it's to make you look better and to make Lisa look bad. Do I think Lisa needed to go as hard as she went on this?
Yes, she did.
I mean, she's doing her
job. I love watching her.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you're not here for the Elton John story. Do you feel like we're done with it?
Or I'm done.
But are they done with it? Is it going to keep going?
I think it's going to keep going. I don't actually know if it's going to keep going. But this is also what I didn't understand. Sutton says in her confessional or whatever she is, I could just come in and squash it right at the beginning and apologize. But we'll see. Why not just come in and apologize right from the beginning? Why not like give that hug and go, hey, I really fucked up there. I stepped in it. I'm so sorry I ever brought that up on Watch Happen.
Well, I would have to say that Sutton has become a very seasoned housewife in a very quick time. This is what, her third year? Yeah. Second year as a housewife. I feel like she knows the assignment and she's working it. She's working it.
Okay. Then Kyle says it was inappropriate for Sutton to post a picture drinking Marg saying Thirsty Thursday after Dorit's home invasion.
Insensitive.
But I think that Sutton has repeatedly shown she didn't care about the situation.
No, she obviously showed that she is this like oblivious to what is going on. But I feel like that is Sutton's personality. She's kind of oblivious to everything that's going on around her.
Know what I wasn't oblivious to?
What?
The B confessional.
I can't with that. I'm sorry.
Dorit, I love you so much. But hearing about the B and putting the B, I honestly had so much anxiety. And then I started thinking about when Kyle jumped in the pool when the B was chasing her and then went to the hospital.
One thing that I did like about Dorit's confessional is that she told us a little story about her father. Was it her father?
That part I
like. I do like, because I don't know anything about her past, like where she grew up or anything. I know she's got like 17,000 like accents, but I don't know.
Not
where
really
they come
anymore.
From.
She's been, it's pretty.
Is it pretty? Okay.
It's
if you,
pretty.
If you say so.
Okay. Well, no, I think her accent, she doesn't really even have like a British accent anymore.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Do you think so?
It's a different accent.
If you're around a lot of accents, whatever.
Yeah. Well, her husband has an accent, so I'm sure that's got to rub off on her for sure. But I did love to hear about her dad, all that. That was cool. But the B story, I couldn't live without.
Okay. Then another major point is them picking out where everybody's going to sit at the dinner table, which, of course, I have to text Lisa Rinna because, you know, she invited me to go to that event.
You didn't just text it. You put it on social media.
I did.
Where was my seat? And what did she say?
You know what? She didn't give me an answer. And which leads me to believe.
No seat for you?
No. She would have put me somewhere right in the middle of the drama because she would have known.
That you would call them out.
That I couldn't help myself. Mm-hmm. She would have known. But I'm glad I did say no to this event, even though the moment between Sutton and Erica, it was a little bit of heaven.
It was great.
But
first of all, let's just say happy birthday, Harry.
Happy birthday,
70 Harry. 70 years old. Amazing. What were your thoughts on who brought gifts and who didn't?
Well, it's tricky because I think the only people that brought gifts were Garcelle and Asher. That's who I noticed brought gifts.
Yeah.
But in Beverly Hills, most of the time we send gifts.
Oh, you send gifts. Okay. So that's what I was like, what's going
on? So most of...
Because I was shocked to the core that Miss Proper Southern Sutton did not bring a gift.
I doubt...
Do you think she sent one?
I'm guessing she sent flowers.
Okay.
Because she doesn't even particularly like me, I don't think. And
why would she not like you?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's just my assumption. But, I mean, she still sends me flowers for every
occasion. Well, then she likes you. She's not going to send you flowers if she doesn't like you.
No, but she's one of those people that, like, will say, let's go grab drinks, but then we never book them. She's a Heather.
Yeah.
Like keeping me close just in case they were to ever be a crossover.
Yeah. Yeah. I getcha. Lisa confronts Sutton about canceling her table at the gala last minute, which leads to a big giant shit show. Now we talked about the conversation between Erica. Have we talked about that yet? Erica and Sutton was, I live for that moment.
Oh, well, one, we just talked about it 2 seconds ago.
I know, but we didn't get into it. Like the actual conversation where she says,
like,
are you going to apologize to me?
And no, because I don't like you.
And they're like, go fuck yourself.
Fuck you.
That was amazing.
I thought it was so good. But I also loved that one, Sutton kept it together and didn't cry because you could tell she wanted to. And I loved that Erica did it with a smile, because normally when Erica strikes, it's not with a smile. But she did it and like, fuck yourself. And I loved that version of it. That whole thing was great. We're also introduced to new housewife, Diana Jenkins.
Okay, so I'm confused. Is her name Dinah or Diana?
Diana Jenkins.
Okay, because Elton John did a video and she posted it and he called her Dinah.
Well, maybe it's Diana. Diana.
Because I'm like, wait, is it Dinah? He's like, oh, Dinah. And then I'm like,
I don't know. Neil Patrick Harris said Diana.
Diana, Dinah.
Okay, I it's unclear. I'm not 100% sure.
I wasn't sure how you say her name. But I love her.
Love.
Obsessed with her. Best casting so far ever.
I loved when she said Nouveau Riche and like called herself. Like,
called
you know,
herself out.
Yeah, called herself out.
Yeah.
So funny. I liked when she made the joke between her saying that people. I always hear when people say, is that son or boyfriend? Because of the same age. Like everything. I just like that she just throws it all out there. I think she's a very good housewife. My only concern is she's got so much money that like, how long are you going to want to put up with that shit?
Well, maybe she's bored.
Maybe she's bored. I don't know. She runs huge companies. Oh, like her neuro company is big. It is the number one host. Like when you look at the backdrop for the Elton John party, that's the number one sponsor.
Wow.
And like, you know, those things that say like neuro sleep, neuro, whatever, that's her company.
Wow. Now I loved hearing her story, where she came from, how she's, you know, struggled for so many years and how she made it. Now she had a baby at 47. Was that?
I thought she said 43, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
I'm not sure, but is that the guy that we see?
That's the dad.
That's the dad. Okay.
Yes.
They never really established that I saw, but yeah. It was just kind of like, they're not married. They're dating.
They're not married, but they've been together 12 years.
What?
And, yeah. They've been together 12 years. I think it's 12 years, but so go to his Instagram, you guys. He has the most beautiful singing voice to die. Like, And you can't blame this on a Fox Force 5 type of situation. I've only met Diana once. And so I just did my own stalking. And his voice is so good.
Like, does he do that for a living or just a hobby?
Unclear.
Okay.
But,
so he's not like a professional singer?
He may be. I don't know what he does.
Well,
but
he will be after this.
But season. I do know that he is the father of her baby. And I know that she has her two older kids, who her son is handsome as well.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what?
I mean, she's beautiful.
I'm all for it.
Boyfriend's beautiful. Kids are beautiful.
She does drop that she was with Kim Kardashian in Paris when Kim got robbed. So we know, like,
she ain't messing around.
Yeah. She's not hanging out with the likes of us.
She's not hanging out with Tamron Teddy.
And then one part that I didn't particularly love, and this is when they talk about only PK's watches being stolen.
Yeah, I kind of cringed when I heard that.
And they said it's only 60,000.
Only 60,000. And Lisa was like, oh, no big deal. And I'm like, for, you know, most people in this world, that's a lot of money. And to just blow it off, like, it just was a little.
But helpful. I think it was one of those things that in the big scheme of things, of all of the things
I'm
that
sorry
they have.
I didn't get your $1 million watch. It was only...
67. So it was a little, that part was a little cringe, but yeah. I love them. And I know I do not think PK meant anything about it. I think PK was trying to say like, my family is safe. My life is safe. Everything's good. I don't care about my watch.
I don't care about my 60,000 watch. It was a cheap one.
I'm hoping that was a Bravo ask on the price.
Yeah. The one thing I wasn't quite clear, why are we talking about pancake cake? Like what? Is there a backstory to that?
No, because.
About?
No, because eating disorder is going to come into the picture. And so now we're seeing eating, we're seeing things. Okay. So well, I think.
Are you exposing something that hasn't been exposed yet?
No. Crystal talked about it on the podcast with us already.
But it hasn't been seen on the show.
But she talks about, she posted on her social media, but we are shown a scene of Sutton and Crystal eating cake.
Okay.
And then pasta.
Okay.
So I think this is setting something up.
It's a lot of carbs. I couldn't do it.
Oh my gosh. But that is pretty much the entire episode. I don't know. It's a good episode.
It was great.
At the end, Kyle tells Sutton that she thinks she's acting off and being insensitive towards Dorit. Sutton says she doesn't do well with guns and burglary since her house was broken into growing up and her father shot himself. 1,000,000%. That statement, yeah. I 100% empathize with and understand. However, it's conflicting information to what
after
she
what
said about guns.
When she grew up with guns.
That she grew up with guns and we all hunt and we did this and when you shoot your first deer and this and that and that. So,
yeah.
You know, that's the problem. That's I got a pretty darn good memory.
You do. Good thing about being young still.
So we
had a lot of fan thoughts.
Let's go down there.
They definitely said that Diana is the new favorite housewife. She came out with a bang. She's beautiful. She's funny.
She's rich, honey.
She's a rich bitch.
The next one is Sutton is crazy, but makes for good TV. I agree on that.
Yes. I don't believe Sutton would ever cancel a table last minute. Rinna is stirring the pot there.
I don't think Rinna's stirring the pot. I think Rinna is irritated. I think Rinna is one of those people that if something isn't buttoned up with the truth, she can't live with it. She can't let it go.
Did she cancel the table or not?
She bought a certain amount of seats that did not include Lisa Rinna. So Lisa Rinna had to go make a deal with IMDb and they did her two seats.
I love the show, but why are they arguing about petty shit from 2019?
Because they have to take a break from Erica, but they'll be back to Erica soon enough.
Yeah.
There are so many cast members this season. I think there are so many cast members because in my guess is I feel like there'll be changes next year.
Yeah, but I don't feel like you really feel it.
Like there's too many cast, but we're only episode 2 and they haven't even introduced. There's still one more person that they haven't brought in.
Yeah, but I feel like they're still the core of the girls that are there. And these other ones that are coming in, I mean, so far have been, Diana's been good.
Yeah, and so, I think the other one is good too.
So we just have one more coming in?
Yeah, but I think she's a friend of, I think.
Okay.
I can't confirm.
I don't even know who she is. Okay. Oh my gosh.
And then wanted more about how Dorit and PK are holding up. And
Kyle is a pro shitster. Now, I don't see that at all. Somebody that was on the show for 12 years, I was often compared to Kyle a lot by producers, production, things like that, because we had the ability to keep stories rolling. And I think that is a talent that not all housewives have. And when you are in a situation, you know what, we can sit here all night, but why?
Or we can just
get to the point.
And I think that Kyle stirred less shit by doing it in the car with just PK and Dorit than doing it at. Either way, she took it up with Sutton directly, but she could have, if you want to call real shit stirring, she could have brought it up at the table.
Yeah.
The same way that Sutton brought out her receipts.
Here's the thing.
Oh my gosh, when Sutton had to get her readers out, all I could think about was you.
Thank God. Okay. So here's the thing with Kyle. I could tell in the backseat of that car when she brought it up. She brings it up because she knows it's the right thing to do, but she's like dying inside.
Because it's not who, like,
she's not her personality.
Kyle is not a shitster. Kyle is fun loving and easygoing and hilarious and the comic relief of every single one of these events.
I will say, after spending time with her through you, I can't believe how funny she is. And I feel like half of it is not shown on the show. She's hilarious.
Even when they show baby snippets of it, like in the confessionals. Yeah. I mean, but it's so much more when you're in scene with her. Yeah. That's why, she's so good at it.
Okay.
And that's not even bias. It's just the truth.
Okay.
But that's next week. That's this week. Next week.
Well,
teaser.
Next week, I saw you on the preview.
But don't you worry. I already posted because I don't even want to get the hate from people being like, did you go back? Did you do an episode?
So clear it up now.
Okay. No, so I'm going to clear it up. I did not get mic'd for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because Kyle was opening Kyle and Shahida. I work with Extra and do correspondent work with them. And I was their correspondent on the carpet for that event.
Okay.
They flashed to me because that was when they were cutting the ribbon.
Yeah, and you were in the background.
And I was in the background.
Did they ask you to put a mic on?
I had an original conversation with production that didn't go as planned.
Okay.
And so there was no plan of putting any mic on.
Okay. Got it.
And so that, and then that was then the night that I decided, well, I had already said no to Renna's thing. Then I didn't mic that night. And then that was the night that I decided I will not, unless it's like Porsche's birthday, which is the only other thing that I attended.
Yeah. So you're not thirsty.
Like, I will not go on unless I'm holding.
Well, it's a hard transition to go for, especially someone like me. Like Heather kind of threw out there, like, I invited her to a party and she wouldn't show up. It is a difficult decision when you were, like for me, a cast member for 12 years, and then you're going to be like, can you just step in and drop some bombs and walk away? No, because you know what?
It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good. Another thing is like, you don't have a voice. Like, you can go in there and drop some bombs about somebody and then walk away. You don't have confessionals. You don't have another scene. You can't defend yourself. And to me, it was just, you know, at first I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And then after talking to Eddie, he's like, babe, that's a no-win situation.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose. It's a lose-lose. So that's
I'm like,
really
just let them go on. They made a decision without me. Go on.
Bye. So, yeah. No, but of course I'm going to be there to show up for Kyle. But no, I'm not on the episode. You won't see me in any drama. The end.
Yeah.
But let's take a little break and we'll come back and let's talk a little bit about Jersey.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us, they beat us, they burned us, and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's in treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs in Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to Season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back, and we're going to keep the Jersey recap a little bit short because we're having Frank on tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a lot of juice from him.
I'm very excited about that.
We do need to just cover the basis.
What are your overall thoughts on this reunion, this third part? Did you think, like...
It was kind of like enough already. I got it.
You saw Andy's frustration where he was like, just, we've already gone on this hamster wheel. It's going around and around. I feel like there was a lot of the same stuff that we saw in the first two.
Like, I've seen Andy mad before. I've never seen him that mad.
I've never seen him that mad. In fact, I tweeted, or no, I actually on Instagram story put out a picture of him like mad. And it's like, tell me you're a father of a toddler without telling me you're a father of a toddler. Like, he was having a tantrum. It was very cute.
Yeah, he was over it. It starts with Margaret says Jennifer was a villain for many years and now made out her life to be perfect. She says if everything was amazing, Jennifer wouldn't have crumbled like she did this season. Listen, I kind of disagree with that too. I love Marge. I think she makes a lot of good points.
But if
something that I really thought was settled and done and I'd processed and gone through resurfaced 10 years later on national television, I would be emotional about it as well.
100%. And I mean, I find it a little bit hard to believe that Jennifer has, like, it just died that day and she never thought about it again. Because I, as a woman that's married, like, if my husband did that, I personally, it would take me many years to get over, if I could get over it at all.
The next thing is, Louis says his first season on Real Housewives of New Jersey was horrible and felt judged without telling his own story. I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay, let's hear them.
But do you want to say your thoughts first?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm afraid to talk about him.
I know you're afraid to talk about him. I personally think what he came across, the best he's come across on the show, on the reunion, by being open and saying he wanted to come forward and share these stories.
Yes.
But Teresa wouldn't let him. That all processed with me. That being said, some of the accusations
were brutal.
And that scares me.
But here's the thing. If none of these accusations were brought up on the show this year and he just filmed, he's very lovable. He's very sweet. He's very positive. They look cute together.
Do you think they look cute together?
I do. I feel like, yeah, I mean, she was married to Joe. So, I mean, like.
I'm not saying aesthetically. I'm saying I mean, you and I are similar in the fact that if we were with Eddie or Edwin and we were filming something and they were saying something bonehead, we'd like kick them under the table.
But Eddie and Edwin wouldn't.
They would never. No. But the fact that she's having to constantly
micromanage him.
It makes me worried, and I don't know if that's her own paranoia or she knows a different side of him, but whatever it is.
I think she knows how the show works, and when somebody starts going after the husbands, you know, it could, you know, who knows what's going on at home? It could be the fact that he's like, this show sucks, you know, what have you got me into? Like, who knows the backlash that she's getting because of...
But regardless, he knows he's going on a show, and there's arrest records. I mean, you just have to know that. If you've ever been called for domestic violence or any of these types of things, it's going to come out on the television show.
Yeah.
So you better be ready for that story to be talked about right from the get-go.
Right. But But I do believe Margaret when she said, I wanted to get in front of this and yes. I wanted to be able to, you know, twist this in a positive manner, but you wouldn't let him talk.
I agree. I thought Margaret was correct on that. Yeah. I don't think Teresa was able to listen to hear that part to either Margaret or Andy or Louis, to right. be perfectly honest.
No, I agree too.
Frank right. says he does not see eye to eye with Dolores's boyfriend and how he doesn't understand Frank and Dolores's relationship.
Well, that to me, that's a difficult relationship to understand. And we're going to talk to Frank about that. But, you know, if Eddie had an ex-wife and I came into the picture and they had kids together and she was like hanging out and doing like, I'd be like, this is freaking weird. I mean,
I think you have to understand the person that you're with boundaries. Like, I was married before. I was close with my ex-husband and Edwin. We all were friends. And then when my ex-husband met his now wife, mm-hmm. she was like, you know, that's probably a no for me.
Yeah.
And we don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
You have to respect.
But my concern is now if Dolores.
But I don't have kids.
Right.
So that's where it's different.
Dolores is with a new guy and Frank doesn't like them and it caused tension. Does that mean we don't get Frank on the show next year? Like that's like Frank needs
no,
to
No, Frank
him.
Has to be on the
he
show.
He has to be on the
show. He's a core. He's core because even if they are having tension, even if Buzz Lightyear comes on the show, we're going to have to see the tension.
I need to see a picture of him, why he called him Buzz Lightyear. And, you know, he's a superhero, so that's not exactly a bad thing.
We love you, Dolores.
It's not like he called him Donkey from Shrek.
Haven't we learned our lesson? Like, can't we learn any lessons on this pod?
I can't learn any lessons whatsoever.
Oh my gosh. All right. Bill says he was angry with Margaret at first for bringing up his affair, but mainly angry at himself. I actually really loved Bill when he said this because finally, the first time, he took accountability that he done fucked up. He did the wrong thing.
I didn't like when his wife was like, stick up for me. Stick up. Like, do it now. Like, I'm like, wait,
no,
what?
But that was in regards to Jackie.
Regardless, I don't care.
I know,
like,
but
don't tell your man what to do.
Well, I think she's so paranoid now because people thought that he was checked out from the marriage when really he was just checking out from the show.
Yeah.
I mean, think he loves Jen, but I think
he was uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think Jen is getting the heat for a lot of what happened with Jackie and Evan last year. And it wasn't solely Jen. And I think Jen is now it's because.
Okay. So last year it was, I didn't watch last year, but so I from know. What I'm hearing. So last year is all about how Evan cheated on Jackie, which wasn't true. And then we go this year and now it's all about Louis. Like, there's a lot of storyline around the husbands.
The husbands are the primary storyline, but it's because these women are actually married.
Yeah, I know. But even so, like, the guys are more involved in the show than any other franchise, so I understand that. But on Orange County, you know, if you're going to go after the husbands, which my husband, you know, Vicky went after him with a line story, I felt the need to defend him when he was sitting back going, well, who gives a shit? Yeah. You know, if they're calling me a crook or something and call me gay, well, okay, whatever. It's not the 1930s. If I was gay, I'd just be gay. Right. So it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of husband stories.
Ugh. Well, speaking of, Louis says he got let go from his company because of the negative stuff in the press about him. Teresa blames Margaret for it. So this is another case of Louis is wanting to share what's going on. And you can see that Teresa does not even want him to share that.
I know.
She's going to have to get over this.
Why do you think she doesn't want him to share that?
Because then it's going to be in the press. But what she doesn't realize, because she's only thinking about what's happening immediately.
Yeah.
She's not thinking about 3 months down the road. What if press were to find out that he got let go because of this, and then it comes like a Gina situation with her ex.
Yes.
And then all these other stories matriculate. I don't know if that's a word.
It's not a word in my vocabulary, but my vocabulary
all these
short.
Other words.
So I mean, where did he work? Do we know? What did he do? I don't even know what he does.
I don't know what he does. He was at, I think he was the head and he was asked to step down as the head. I think he maybe still
but
be a
Andy
part.
Said, your company, how does your company ask you to step down?
Because if you're not a 100% sole owner.
So he's not, it's not his company.
No, it probably is his company, but if he has sponsors or anything like investors,
okay,
so, but who knows?
Yeah. So it was good.
That's the
done.
End. And we're going to dig into Frank and then take a little break. And we'll come back, talk about Atlanta.
Atlanta.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us, they beat us, they burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's in treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to Season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back talking a little bit about Atlanta. Starts off, Kenya throws a tea party for her daughter, Brooklyn, and talks about how she will pay for it herself since she's going through a divorce.
And how much was that party?
$10,000 to $15,000.
$10,000 to $15,000.
Okay. this is where I always have a hard time with parties, kids parties on the show. I had a couple kids parties on the show. Yes, they were never aired. No, most of them were never aired.
Didn't you have a big party?
For my kids? Mm-mm. No, they never aired them because they were actually parties catered to kids.
Well, they don't want to see that.
So that nobody wants to see that. But that's my point. This tea party, love you, Kenya. But like,
well, the shady game that she played, like she knows.
Yeah.
She like, knows what she's doing.
We may as well have just called this like a tea party for the women and not had it be a birthday party. Because that was.
Because I didn't see a lot of course, I'm sure a lot else, a lot more went on that day, but we just didn't see it because kid parties are boring.
Correct.
Kid parties are boring. Public doesn't want to watch that. But I love the fact that one lady walked, grabbed her kid, took off. This is a kid's party. And then was it Marlo that said, don't invite your white friends?
This is why,
you don't invite your white friends.
And then she looked to the other girl and she's like, you're fine, obviously.
You're fine. You're a fine white girl.
But what about the new housewife when she starts to lose her shit on her kid?
I was like, yes, yes, because that's real life. I mean, normally on TV, you're like, oh, Johnny, please sit down. But in real life, you're like, sit your butt down.
In my head, my sick head goes to like breaking the fourth wall. And I know that production is trying to tell her that she needs to go sit and have this conversation. And her son is not. So she's like, you can see she's handed him the phone. She's doing all
what
that
else
she can
I do to make you shut up,
like make you go over there because really I have to do my job over here. And this is a pretend like situation. That we're having. Like, I was just thinking about that. I don't think she really loses it on her kids like that. I think the pressure of like knowing you're supposed to be working and causing
drama. I don't
even
think what she said was that bad. She's like, everybody else is being good. Why can't you be good?
It wasn't that great.
No, it wasn't great, but it wasn't like.
I mean, there. What was he supposed to do? He'd already gotten his
it's
face
not like
painted.
She was pinching him under the table. And like,
he doesn't know any of these kids. He's going to sit and have tea with them.
Like, and what? He's a boy too.
That's what. Yeah. Like, he doesn't know anybody. I would do the same freaking thing. Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to be there. Drew picks up Sonya. Oh,
after she gets an accident.
After she gets in a car accident, but they don't really show the car accident very much. They just show it on the thing.
Let's see.
Oh, a lot about the assistant. A lot about.
Okay, do you remember when we had Carlos King on and he said anytime there's a hair makeup assistant that tries to get too thirsty and, you know, bring up storylines or create drama, they need to go. And I just felt like he needs to go.
Well, because now it's coming out that he's saying that Drew's husband is gay.
Oh, like, another gay husband story, please.
Like,
stop.
So Sheree.
Yes.
He's saying Sheree didn't pay him. And then they show all these clips of Sheree not paying people. Then they switch to the table. Drew gets mad. I mean, ultimately, this is my thing. Drew, you are so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Figure out who you are and let's go with that person.
Yeah.
Because I'm really having a hard time connecting with you because you are so, I don't know. You're trying to please everybody.
To me, it kind of seems like, and of course, we're only in a few episodes in and I've never watched her before, but her storyline with her husband seems a little fake. It seems a little self-produced. Let's do this. Every scene we're in, we're going to talk about your assistant. We're going to talk about this massage. And most guys would be like, screw that. We're not talking about that.
But also, I just, in general, I think everything she says.
Very forced.
It's very forced.
Very forced.
Whereas, like, even when I'm seeing Candy, like, Candy shows her emotion. Like, she wears her emotions on her sleeve. Like,
you could see
when
how
they
she's
say,
feeling.
Like, Candy sucks dick in the locker room.
I mean,
you could see she was pissed. And also the conversations between Candy and her husband seemed real to me as well.
Yes.
You could feel it. I cannot believe I didn't know. You guys, maybe some of y'all don't know this either. Did you know that Candy's husband,
Todd,
was a producer on Atlanta? Like he was our.
I don't even know if he was a producer. I don't know what his role was.
Oh, we don't know.
He was part of the crew.
He was part of the crew.
The crew consists of lighting,
camera,
audio, all these, you know.
So he could be like our laser or our.
Yes. Our Chris Cullen or whatever.
No, but.
Thomas, whatever. So I don't know what his role was, but he was part of the crew. And then he was on there for a while. Produce, you know, if he was a producer, let's say he's a producer. And then
they developed a relationship
and got married.
And So he knows that show. So that also legitimized him in this conversation to me when he's talking about coming up with his own show. Yes. He didn't start
business.
Right. Yeah. But I didn't know that. Because, so I thought he came up on her.
Yeah.
But really, he's already been working in production. Right. So him having his own show isn't that far off. So yes. That made sense to me. But also, sex three times a week is pretty good. So
that's what I was thinking.
I want you to appreciate
that. But he was downplaying having sex three times a week. I'm like, my husband would be so happy.
Like, we're two, three times a week. And that's like...
Really?
But we have to focus. Sorry for the clap. We have to focus on it.
That's good. Three times a week is good.
Three times a week is good. Especially, like, when you have little kids. That's good.
Yeah.
Then... We get more into the assistant stuff. And then that's pretty much the episode. But the amount of shit that went down on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I live for Sheree's tweets.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they are insane crazy. Like, she will just go after people.
So
castmates. And it's, oh, my God, it's juicy.
Okay, so, Drew, Sheree needs to worry about coming back next season. Sheree responds, girl, bye. Not worried about that at all. Don't get too ahead of yourself, newbie. Everybody knows, Phaedra voice. The only reason you got a second chance was because of the loss of two long-term peaches. # charity peach.
Oh,
turned rotten peach.
Charity peach. I mean, Sheree, I love you. Sheree.
You got to read this next one.
If the feds are looking into anything, then it would be your husband's financial activity. What does he do again? Heard about that too. # And then Drew responds, hold up, girls, don't you what does it say?
Hold up, girl, don't you peach have a PPP on it?
What is that? I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Hold up, girl, don't your peach have a PPP on it? What's a PPP? Isn't that like...
It's unclear. But then PPP, this one is
like the government... Like, if you have a business.
I don't know. And then this final one is, Drew writes, girl, bye. Definitely been rated number one 3 weeks straight. And not to mention my screen time has been more than yours. Winky face.
Oh, who even monitors that?
Don't act like you never noticed.
I don't.
You screen never time? Noticed if somebody's not in the episode?
Yeah, but I don't know, like, screen time. Like, I don't know who has the most screen time.
Like, I can say some, like, if we're watching OC, I can be like, oh, so-and-so wasn't even in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, but she's, like, talking screen time. Like
no,
this one has 12, this one has 13 minutes, yeah. This one has 15 minutes.
So, and then Sheree writes, you're absolutely correct on the screen time, boo. Be cleared, you taped for weeks creating fake storylines before I got there, honey, while I was still negotiating my contract.
I know my worth.
# I know my worth. So if you're proud of how you're coming across for pennies, then kudos to you.
I mean, this is so entertaining.
Oh, I love it. It really is. A little bit of happiness. We've already run through time. We have so many shows now. We're running out of time. We have two headlines. Andy Cohen talks potential third Ultimate Girls Trip and very promising Real Housewives of New York casting. He drops hints about possible third season of Real Ultimate Girls Trip.
Have you heard anything about it?
I know that the third season is cast.
You do. So I've heard, like, it's all rumors. Like, everybody has a rumor to say about it. But I heard way back that they were going to have one current cast member and one ex-cast member from certain shows. I don't know if it's true. That's what I heard.
I don't know who's cast, but I do know that it is cast.
How do you know it's cast?
Because I know I'm not on it.
Oh, my gosh. So, Dorit and PK clap back at Lisa Vanderpump after she says she reached out to them post-home invasion, accusing her of lies. So, basically, were those fake text messages?
Why?
You probably know more than me.
Also, the amount of time that Lisa Vanderpump feels the need to show receipts for things.
But why,
like, remember when she printed out my partial receipts?
Yes. Yes.
Like, she loves to show an altered text message. It's her favorite thing. And, like, what were the lines over it? It didn't even make sense.
I don't understand, but why is it even brought up?
Because she wants to get her, like, I mean, she wants to get her foot in there either way. And also, why would Dorit and PK lie? Like, who? It doesn't skin off their ass for them to say, oh, yeah, Lisa did reach out.
Right.
We're out of time. Make sure, write us reviews.
Yes, write us lots of reviews. Good reviews, bad reviews. We like the 5-star reviews, but reviews,
give us 5 stars. And honestly, I'm doing my very best with the neck lift not to yell, but it is very hard for me to hear.
It's her nature.
And it's in my nature, guys. Well, I guess I'm about to go meet Taylor Armstrong.
Yes, you are.
I love a planned meeting without being told in advance.
I know.
I love a surprise.
I know.
Who fucking loves a surprise? No one. Bye, guys.
You
do. What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.